Thank him for that. Thank you, everybody, for your wonderful singing. And now, please, everybody, welcome Mr. Tim Engard. He's going to come up here and open the Word of God to us. And he's also going to mention maybe a little bit about this spring conference that's going to be coming up this May up at the Morningstar Bible Camp. And we'd like to hear more about that. So please come up, Tim, and open up the Word to us and bring us the things that God has for us today. Thank you very much for being here. We really appreciate it. Anything you need, let us know. There's a little bit of water here for you. And I've got this thing recording the message here for you. This thing does work. I'm going to try to get it turned on. And just be careful not to blow in it. It makes it sound.
Thanks so much. Well, thank you very much for having myself and my family, as well as my wife's cousin, Ashley, and her husband, Josh. It's great to be with you this morning. And you've heard it a couple times, Morningstar Bible Camp. Josh Kaplan, the director of the camp, asked myself to come and visit today to just share a little bit about the work that's going on there. Many times in ministry, there's a personal interest by local assemblies, one of which yourselves, in the work. And so I'm just here today essentially to say, hey, this is what's been going on, fill you in on what is the work's been going on in Morningstar, as well as for those of you who've never heard of it, maybe bring to mind what it is and what we're about and things like that. But before I do that, I feel like we should open up the Word of God first, put first things first. So we'll just have a little bit of a message time just so you understand what I'm going to do. So we're going to have a little bit of time in the Word, and then I'll do a small presentation about Morningstar after that, okay? Hope that's all right. And yeah. So let's just pray and go to the Lord in prayer before we open His Word. Our Father, we just look to You. We see You in Your Word as holy and just and righteous and love and in perfection, Father. And we would look within and we would just see a stark, dark contrast, Father, of how far we have fallen in our sin. We thank You above all, though, that You've made a way for us to be reconciled. We were hearing this morning in the breaking of bread, just of through Your Son, You've made reconciliation for humanity. And we just thank You for Your Son this morning. Would You help us to enter into this this life that You've given us in determination and discipline, and as Paul would say, beating his body into submission, into this this chase after a standard of Your Son. And would You just help us to understand that this morning and through Your Word? We pray these things in Your Son's name. Amen. I want to start off this morning by just asking you a question, and it's phrased purposely, so just allow me to expand on the phraseology of it. How are you doing in the arena, in the battle, in the striving toward perfection? Perfection, okay? How are you doing in the goal or the struggle or the battle toward perfection? I'm not doing well. And I think a lot of us would probably say that, right? Like, when we look at our lives, we don't necessarily say there's a lot great about it compared to God, right? There's, like, it's almost, like, non-existent, right? So, but the Word of God, when we look through it, there's this idea of sanctification, right? A ridding of unholiness, ridding of unrighteousness, a building of righteousness, a position of holiness before God. And we see in Scripture as well this idea of a progression over life. And we would look in amongst our church and we would see those who have been saved and with the Lord and walking with the Lord for years, they're really nice to be around. And I would submit to you that's because they've spent a lot of time with their Savior and have become more like Him. And that's why we have an affinity to them, right? And the ones that have just come to know the Lord, you know, they have a lot of rough edges still, and they're still the Lord's still working on them and you know, sanding them and polishing them, right? And so I want to look at one verse with you this morning with this idea in mind, where are you in your pursuit of perfection? What's the degree? So let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. We were in there this morning in a couple areas. I want to look at one verse, Colossians 3 and verse 14. Colossians 3 and verse 14. And it reads like this: above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. This verse in verse 14 is situated in a list. If you were to go up to the top of chapter 3, read all the way down, right through the chapter. Around verse 17, it starts to get into specific commandments or guidelines for family and things like that. But from verse 5 to 17, we have general things that men and women, children, adults, elderly, young, we're supposed to put off and put on. It's a list all the way through. Do these things, don't do these things. Be like this, don't be like this, right? When I was young, I would wake up on a Saturday morning, my mom would have gone out to do grocery shopping and her errands and things like that, and Saturday was chore day for Tim. And on the counter, always every Saturday, there'd be a list for Tim to do, right? 1 to 5 or whatever, right? And usually how my mom laid it out was the most important one was on top, right? On top, right? So I knew to do that one first, and because if I didn't get it done before mom got home, that was bad. Probably the other ones too, but start at the top, work your way down. You know, start at the bottom, work your way up, right? So the most important one was at the top, right? Well, in our list this morning, it's not necessarily the case as well. The first one on the list isn't, that's not how Paul wrote it. That's not how Paul organized it. So he organized it, stating that we're still going to look at the most important thing this morning, the most important thing in his list. And we know that because he says, but above all, I've said all these things, put off all these things, put on all these things, but above all, most importantly, if you don't do any other one of these things and you want to start with just one, start with this one, above all, love. Above all these things, put on love. I wanted to describe love to you and look at love in English. And we don't really have a good... we use love for a lot of different ways in English, right? It's not a very good language to describe the differences of love that we have, right? In Greek, in this particular verse, the word is agape. It just means unconditional love. It's very used all throughout Scripture. We are probably very familiar with the list in 1 Corinthians 13. But I'm like forgetful, and I'm sure some of you are as well. And so just to bring to mind, if we're going to think about the most important thing on the list this morning, and it's love, I want to give you guys an image. What is that? What is love? What does that look like? Remind me, Tim. I'm not recalling. In 1 Corinthians, if you want, you can turn there, chapter 13. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he says that if he doesn't have love, he's a sounding brass. And if he could have all the faith in the world, but if he didn't have love, he'd be nothing. So we know it's important, right? Coincides with what he's writing in Colossians. Love suffers. This is what love is. Love suffers long and is kind. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether these are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it shall vanish away. Love never fails. Perhaps when I was reading that verse, sometimes in our minds, when we're thinking on a specific attribute, characteristic, our mind is drawn to someone in our life, that we've seen that quality manifest itself in a certain scenario. For myself, this past year, I spent 9 months at an assembly down in Lubbock, Texas, and there was a lot of men who discipled me in that 9 months. And so when I think of what love is, I associate love with their actions towards me, their sacrificial lifestyle, and how what they would give up to pour into me, right? And perhaps when I was reading that, there was a person that we all know who you thought of because you've placed your personal trust in him for your eternal salvation. I don't think there's a higher or a more or a greater example of love that anyone could ever know than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we think of love, we need to look to him. First John 3, verse 16, I'm just going to flip there to read it so I don't misquote it. It says, by this we know love. By this we know love, because he, the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. What is love? It's being like our Lord Jesus Christ, being how he operated in the day-to-day world. He just loved people. And in the culmination of his life, you could say the ultimate thing that he did demonstrated life or love to humanity by laying down his life for us all. His ultimate example of love. Just going back to Colossians. Above all, most importantly, if you would do any of these and start with just one, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. What does that mean? The bond of perfection? That's a really weird thing to write, Paul. Are you saying that there's like a connection between love and perfection? Yeah, I am. I am. Church in Colossae. The word in the Greek there for bond, if you look it up, like figuratively it's used through scripture as ligaments. I'm not sure if any of you are in the medical field here or have worked as doctors or nurses maybe, but or did some bio maybe, but there are muscles through our whole body, from what I understand. I'm not in the medical field. So our bones, my forearm here and my upper arm here, are connected, right? And they work fine, normally. because there's things connecting the two bones together, right? There's muscles, and they're connected to the bone. The bones are connected to these bones, and everything works as it should because it's all connected. Well, that word there, bond, is the word for ligament, sinews. It's what connects the muscle to the bone to the bone. It connects. And so when we're thinking about perfection, right, this idea of moral perfection, spiritual perfection, essentially, I'm going to get into it in a second, but as the goal, love is connected to that. So if you were to, if someone was to say, if we were thinking about the ultimate goal of perfection and we disregarded love, that can't. There has to be love, because it's the connecting point. It's how all these things come together. The bond of perfection. What does it mean to be perfect? What does it mean to be perfect? This word perfection here, it speaks of moral purity, no unrighteousness, sinlessness, a spiritual purity as well. And I don't think any of us can honestly, truly, if we look in within ourselves, say, yeah, I'm perfect. To say that is like, no, like, just be honest, like, we're not. And so why is Paul saying, like, why is he even bringing it up? Like, are we to be perfect? Are we supposed to strive for perfection? Like, why bring it up, Paul? I don't get it. Like, we're not perfect. We seem to think that we never will be, right? So why are you talking about it? If you were to study the book of Colossians, you'd find out in verse 2, and please flip there, chapter 2, in verse 6, it's a really key verse. Really key verse. As you, therefore, have received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. There was a misplacing of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the lives of the Colossae Christians. They didn't have him in the right place. And so it affected their walk. They weren't walking right. They were walking in imperfection. And so when we think of it, what does it mean to be perfect for a person this side of heaven? It means to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. These Colossae Christians, just like us, had sin, needed a fix to that. And so the Lord Jesus comes in and he reconciles them. He's made them right before God. But now in their walk, there's aspects of imperfection. And so this idea of being perfect is essentially a God-likeness, a Christ-likeness. Matthew 5 would use the same word in verse 14 of chapter 3. And it would say, be holy for I am holy. So be God-like because be Father-like because I am God-like. So the Lord Jesus is saying, be like me, be holy like me, because my Father is holy. So be Father-like, be God-like. Colossians 2:10, it talks about this idea that we are complete in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're lacking nothing. We're whole in him. And so in our lives, after we've come to Christ, we enter into sanctification, and we begin that process where God rids our lives slowly of the presence of sin in our life on a daily basis. And we're not perfect. And in a sense, this side of heaven, we won't be perfect, like in our character and in our walk. But praise God, in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a perfect standing with our Father. And He has entrance to start getting rid of all the imperfections. But the thing is, without love, if we abandon love, it's hard to do the rest of them. So above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. I think maybe a different way Paul could have wrote it would be, above all this, in the ways that the Lord Jesus Christ was loving, do that. Be like him. That is perfection, is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is God. Let's just pray. Father, I just ask despite my bumbling lips and my disconnected thoughts, Father, that your people this morning would be reminded of your Son, his love for them, what that looks like for them individually, that they wouldn't be discouraged by the position of their lives, that they would strive, that they would make it a daily goal to put on and put off. That their goal would be to be like Christ, to be effectual in this life for you. I ask that for them as I would for me. Father, might it be that when you return, you'd see a church that is making itself ready for you, not sitting around just enjoying the bare bones of their salvation, but they've done something with it. They've just ask this in your Son's name. Amen. I have a bit of a slideshow for the camp. I didn't bring the right connection tool to get it up onto the screen, so I apologize. For those of you who have really good eyesight, it'll be of some benefit. But for those of you who don't have very good eyesight, I apologize. I'll try to make it interactive as best I can. So I'm not sure if all of you can see this. Let's do this. It's tiny, I know, I'm sorry. I'll try to make it not so much about the PowerPoint, but yeah. So Morningstar Bible Camp is a Bible camp in West Kelowna, so in Okanagan. Take the ferry, drive for about 4.5 hours, I believe, from here. And right as you're entering into West Kelowna, there's the mill. I'm sure some of you guys know the mill. You go up the hill from the mill and you come to Morningstar. So it's been there since 1956. So it's been there for quite some time. And so this is just a bit of an overview of what we're going to go through today. But I wanted to tell you about, you know, why does Morningstar exist? What's the thought behind almost everything that's done at camp? So, you know, why do we exist, and, you know, for what purpose, right? And so if you could read this, you'd see that it says, in a Christ-centered, wholesome, safe, fun-filled Christian camping environment, we will present the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ to children, teens, and adults. So in a couple words, we exist for the gospel. It's gospel's sake. That's pretty much it. In conjunction with that, we're there for the edification of the body and the building up of the body, believers. We will encourage Christian growth through Bible teaching, personal example, and service. And so some of you are aware of how that plays itself out. So at camp, what are the things we do to share the gospel with people, to build people up in the church? How do we do that? So the main one is summer camps throughout the summer. So starting end of June right through till September, there's a camp every week. And so we really try to maximize the summer. And then throughout the year, you could use the camp for a rental facility or for conferences. There's loads of things always going on. And there's a couple camps as well during spring break that are coming up. Those ones are great. The reason I say that is because they're for really young kids, and they're in the community, and they're day camps. So parents are more than enthralled to bring their kids for the day during spring break because they can't stay home to watch them. And we're more than enthralled to get them because we get to share the gospel with them. And we've seen a big bloom in terms of our day camps. They've expanded the day camps last year just by demand, essentially. They fill up the fastest, and it's really cool to see. So it's a great opportunity to reach young kids. And another way we get the gospel out or encourage believers is through like promotional stuff within the community. So what do I mean by that? Is parades or community events where we're allowed to come and bring our gyroscope. We have this big spinning thing that flips kids upside down, and they love that. But it takes a while. So the kids are all lined up, so we get to talk to them because they're excited to go on this thing. And the parents are standing there waiting for the kids to go, and so we get to share the gospel there and then speak with the kids a little bit, tell them about camp. Maybe they'll come that way. Or in a parade, that was one of my favorite things this summer. We got to go in a parade and had a boat with some Christian music playing, and we had some fun throwing water balloons, and then we were handing out tracts and candy and things like that. So people I was surprised how many we gave out, but it was quite a bit. And yeah, so we're in the community there, and we try to have a face so that people know that we are, and they feel welcome to come to camp, no matter who you are and what kind of walk of life you're in. So the summer camps I mentioned, I'll come back. Camp staff, how camp is run, there's a board with six assemblies on it, the founding assemblies that they would call them. And they appoint two individuals to be on the board, and they manage the camp more or less. And so on a high level. And then there's Josh Kaplan, which I believe has been here before. And him and his wife, I'll just go into the, yeah, I'll, maybe I'll go one by one. So there's Cody and Kendra, who are at camp. They live at camp, and they handle activities. So anything activity oriented, if you were to come to Morningstar, they'd have had their hand on it or had it. they're presently helping with that. And then they also help with the discipleship training program, which is a program that goes all summer long for teenagers as well. And then there's Naomi and myself. We were at camp this past summer and are going back up in April. And we help out with the discipleship training program, and Naomi does the canteen, t-shirts and all the food and stuff for that. This is Andy. Andy works under the board as well. And if anything ever breaks, you want to make sure Andy's around because he would be able to fix it. he's the handy guy at camp. Really gentle hearted. But he's got this rough exterior because he's a handyman kind of thing. And great, you talk to Andy and you'll have a great conversation, guarantee it. Yeah, he's a great guy. So my sister Alex, she isn't at camp. She lives in Kelowna. She's a school teacher. Any correspondence, let's say you wanted to send an email to camp or have a question about camp, it would go to Alex, and then Alex would like disseminate it to whoever it needs to go to. So make sure everyone stays organized. So kind of what she does. And then this is Josh and his family. So it's Josh, Blair, and then Simon, Vivi, Isaiah, and Maxie, their four children. And so there's the board, and then there's Josh, and there's all the staff. And so the board gives directives, and then Josh kind of carries it out. So yeah. And so Josh and Blair, they pretty much do everything else. So they're really, really busy people. They work very, very, very hard. They have a huge heart for kids and for the gospel and for the Lord's church. So, camp is going back to those summer camps. That's typically and traditionally, historically, how that mission has gone out. The gospel has gone out. It was at those summer camps, right? And so, how those are organized is with a weekly director. So, Kirk Pruden and Dale Stewart, they did First Family this past year. So their role, their job for the week was the director. And so they would form their own staff, or we would help them find staff, and then the camp would run for that week. And so why do I bring that up is essentially there's a need for that this year. for other weeks of camp. And so just pray about it and maybe talk to the elders about it. And in terms of, like, Morningstar exists for the church to use their spiritual gifts, right? We're assisting in the gospel going out. We're just like, if the church didn't exist, we wouldn't exist. We're not a above the church kind of thing at all. And then sometimes we kind of joke about saying, like, you know, like, it seems to be, like, not working, and, like, maybe we should just, you know, it's just not, like, this doesn't have to exist, right? So the church is first, and so if without the church's involvement, we really don't, like, there's no reason to be there. So so we would encourage the church to come and to use their gifts at camp. So pray about job at camp, and specifically if your gifting is in the directorship, kind of administration and encouragement, kind of maybe a little bit pastoral, that would probably be a good office for a week kind of thing. So lots of times too, people don't quite, you know, like, what's it mean to cook at camp or cabin lead or direct, or, you know, that sounds kind of a lot of work and crazy. And, you know, it can be a lot of work, but it is rewarding. And it's not Everest in the sense of, like, this big peak that's daunting. There's lots of help to be had, and it's a great training ground as well. We've seen a lot of fruit from people coming to camp, getting involved there, learning some skills, and coming back to the assembly, and then using those skills at the assembly to help the growth here. Sorry, one last thing on the other slide. Why I bring up directors and why there's a need is, historically in the past, if there hasn't been a director, one of the staff that's there all year round will step in for the week to make sure that that week of camp still runs. This past year, for various reasons, and right or wrong, however you want to see it, it's fine, the board decided if there's not a director that steps up from an assembly to run that week, we're not going to put our staff in that role. And so we're just not going to have that camp for that week. Their reasoning behind that was that they were just seeing their staff burnt out. You can imagine, as a director running the whole camp, you have to step back for a week and enter into just, like, 1 week of camp to run it. It's a big burden to carry. So that's why I say I encourage you, like, pray about it, think about it, talk to your elders about it, for any role. Discipleship training program. This is almost second to last slide. What is it? A day in the life of a discipleship training program would be, typically they'd wake up hopefully before 6:55, because 7 o'clock is our first Bible study. So hopefully they're up by 6, done their devos, brushed and washed and fresh for their Bible study, and then we'd study till 8, and then it's breakfast duties, and then throughout the rest of the day, they're generally helping with dishes or anything manual at camp, activities, things like that. And at dinner time, or after, either in the afternoon or after in the evening, we'd do another Bible study. This year for Bible studies, we thought they're going to have a lot of hands-on contact with the kids at camp. And so we need to help them shore up the gospel in their mind. Different aspects. If you look at the gospel and how an individual is saved, what are the avenues you can see that? Redemption, reconciliation, justification, sanctification, being pardoned, like all these ways that you can express the gospel. What does it mean to receive Christ? What is it, like all these ideas? And so we really tried to help them understand that so that they could share it really well with the cabin, or in cabin situations or with kids situations. And we did also some Bible study methods. So we thought, well, it's all great if we can teach them a few things now, but we should really teach them as well to study for themselves, right? So when they leave camp, they're not kind of, well, I can read my Bible, but I don't necessarily know how to study it and get things out of it and mine the truths that are in it. So we did some Bible study methods with them through studies. The discipleship training program exists as a service for the local assembly. The idea behind it is that if a young person came for 4 weeks, we could pour into them so that they would be equipped, so when they go back to their assembly, they'd be of great service and of value, and of input into the local church. So that's why it exists. So if you know of a young person who would be a good candidate, the application's online. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of spiritual work as well. Bible studies are tough, and I have accountability up here. If you've got really good eyesight, you can probably read it. It's a give and take, right? So I'm not perfect, and you're going to see imperfections in me and when we're working. And so there's an aspect of we give you feedback, essentially, on where you can work on and how you can grow and what would be best for that. And so, that's the discipleship training program. It's a four-week commitment with Teens Camp being kind of like a reward. You get to go to Teens Camp for free. And I just have the question up there, are you serious with your walk with the Lord? There's always projects happening up at camp, so if you're not so much like a service-based kind of person, want to work with people, you're more of a handy guy or a handy girl, or you just want to, you know, work on something, there's always projects. So just pick up the phone and give Josh a ring, and maybe there'll be something that you can put your hands to. I'm going to leave this slide up here on the on whatever this is. It's got dates and conference times and schedules. I'd like to have it up here, but I'm sorry, one second, I didn't bring the connection. So just familiarize yourselves with that. There's the Women in the Words conference, so it's a ladies' conference. That's in April. Week of Prayer, we're gonna do a satellite site. And there's Digging Deeper in September, so that one's for the men. And then Spring Bay camps are coming up for kids. And then the DTP program, it has a week of leadership camp, they call it. It's like how to do all the stuff that you're going to be doing throughout the whole summer, and then some Bible courses as well. And then the main one, there's some pamphlets in the back, is the spring conference. So Nate Bramson is going to be the speaker for that. Make sure if you're planning on going that you probably get your accommodations in early, because they're already really starting to fill up. I think they're about like 70%. 75% full for that weekend. So definitely if you're planning on going, maybe even do that when you go home if you can. So I'll leave that up. I think just in case I missed anything or you have any questions, you could just feel free to ask maybe a couple questions, and then I'll just pray again and close. But I'll leave this up here with dates and stuff if you want to take a look. Okay. Sorry if I went long. And that was boring. But yeah. Does anybody have any questions about Morningstar, what we do, how to get information? No? Okay. All right. Feel free to come up to me afterward too. I know that public setting is kind of intimidating maybe, so feel free to walk up and talk to me. But, all right, let's just pray. Our Father, we're thankful for your word and how it can help us with our lives. Father, we are nothing without you. You give purpose and meaning to every day. You give enjoyment and you provide so much to our lives, so we're thankful. We're thankful for places like Morningstar Bible Camp, just like other camps all over Canada and the world, just proclaiming your son is the only way to a right relationship with God. And we would just pray for the Spring Break camps coming up this week, or this coming month, and in the summer too. We just pray that lots of kids would come to Christ, get saved, and begin a relationship with you. Might there be a big catch this summer. We just pray these things in your son's name. Amen.